You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When Scott Turow wrote the best-selling novel Presumed Innocent over 20 years ago, he practically invented a new literary genre, the legal thriller. That was the first of 8 best-selling novels, and now he's written a sequel to the book that started it all. Innocent is also a courtroom drama, and it picks up with Rusty Sabich and Tommy Malto 20 years after they clashed in Presumed Innocent when Rusty Sabich was on trial for murder. The new book is from Grand Central Publishing, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Scott Turow back to our show. Hi.
Hi, Len. It's nice to be with you, as always.
Had you been thinking about what happened to these two characters over the past 23 years?
Well, you know, I'd actually been keeping track of them in my books. One of my favorite parts of having all of my novels set in the same place, the mythical Kendall County, is I get to pull characters from the background into the foreground and from the foreground into the background. So Tommy Malto, who is in some ways the moral center of Innocent, has appeared. This is his fourth appearance in one of my novels.
Sandy Stern.
Sandy Stern is always present. Mm-hmm. Sandy is always present somewhere. And Rusty, I did a novella for the New York Times Magazine that was serialized, and Rusty appeared in Limitations, as it was called, as the chief judge of the appellate court. So I certainly knew where he was, too.
So when you started this book, you had a good sense of where everybody, what everybody was doing.
Right. Well, you know, I actually had decided to write this book before I wrote Limitations. And I had had a little Post-it note sitting on my desk. And I had been off on book tour for Ordinary Heroes, the last full-blooded novel that I published. And sometime along, I had scratched out this note, thinking that I was going to put it in my computer and make some more notes, and I hadn't had the time to do it. So the New York Times calls and says, you know, will you write this novella? And I had an idea about a judge who couldn't decide a case.
That was for the New York Times Magazine.
That was for the Times Magazine.
When they were doing
serializing fiction. Yeah. And I called my agent, Gail Hockman, and I said, you know, Gail, what do you think if this judge who can't decide this case is Rusty Sabich? And there was this long silence. And she basically said, you've been telling me for close to 20 years you won't write a sequel to Presumed Innocent, and now it's going to be for a novella that you, by your own admission, think is not big enough to sustain an entire novel. And you know, she didn't say don't do it. She never does. But I put down the phone, and I looked at the Post-it note, and the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I said, that guy sitting on the bed is Rusty Sabich. Mm. And I had no real commitment to write about Sabich until that moment.
Sitting on the side of the bed at the beginning, he finds his wife dead in their bed one morning. The big surprise is he's still married to Barbara.
Correct.
Now, the presumed innocent, he was accused of killing another woman he'd been having an affair with.
Right. His colleague and mistress, Carolyn Polemus.
Yeah. And they got past that.
I really tried to be faithful to the world and the characters that I had created in Presumed Innocent. And people think, of course, about the end of the movie, the wonderful movie that Alan Pakula made based on the book. But if you go back and read the end of the novel, Presumed Innocent, you will see that Rusty is already saying that he is visiting Barbara, where she has moved in Detroit with their son, Nat. And so the prospect of reconciliation was already in the air at the end of that novel.
Is it a problem? I've spoken to other authors about this. When people talk to them about their book based on the movie version rather than what they actually wrote?
Well, you know, it was a pretty faithful adaptation.
And so he was a great filmmaker.
Yeah, so. Alan was a great filmmaker and an even greater human being. And he was a great person to have as a friend.
Tommy Malto is now the acting prosecuting attorney. He was the prosecuting attorney when Rusty was on trial for murder in the first book. So he's been demoted?
No, he was the sidekick, actually. He was Nico Della Guardia's high school pal who was sort of the hard-charging bulldog who was pushing the case. And Tommy actually ended up accused and presumed innocent by Sandy Stern of framing Rusty, an accusation that everybody in town ended up buying, much to Tommy's detriment, even though the one person who knew it was untrue was Rusty. And so Tommy and Rusty both sort of survived the cataclysm of Rusty's first trial.
Does he still think Rusty was guilty of that murder?
You know, he doesn't say it out loud, but as Innocent recites, it was sort of written on the inside of his heart the way it could have been scorched on the side of a cave that Savage did it.
And now he's bringing charges against Rusty for murdering Barbara.
For murdering Barbara, quite reluctantly at first, as he initially tells his chief deputy, Jim Brand, I can't do this, there's too much history. But Brand keeps going and the evidence accumulates.
And Rusty is also a pretty powerful figure. He's a judge. He's a candidate for the state Supreme Court.
Right.
That both makes him somebody you might not want to go up against, but also makes him somebody that people would like to see brought down.
Yes, and you know, this is a familiar theme in American life, that we like to see the mighty fall.
And he does the sort of thing that allows for the mighty to fall.
He does.
He has promise with fidelity.
He does. He has... you know, Innocent is about change and the way people face it or don't face it. And Rusty Savage is one of those people who is doomed to make the same mistakes. And he does. It all seems inevitable from his eyes.
We, as you mentioned, we have Sandy Stern back again. He served as Rusty's defense attorney in the first book and now in this one as well.
Right.
Would you consider him the ideal lawyer, the ideal defense attorney?
I think, you know, people ask me, where did Sandy Stern come from? And the truth is he is some idealization of the perfect defense lawyer. He is nothing to look at, not physically prepossessing, but when he stands up in court as Rusty's son, who is one of the four narrators in this book, as Rusty's son says, it's as if somebody had lit a beacon.
And you mentioned that he's one of the narrators. You switch perspectives from one character to the other, written from Rusty and his son in the first person, but the chapters from Tommy Molto's perspective are in third.
Third person past, yes, and everybody else is first person present.
Why?
I knew you were going to ask that question. And the truthful answer...
Do you prepare for interviews with me?
It's a logical question because it's one I've even asked myself.
But you knew when you were doing it that you were doing something very specific here.
I did. And I could give you a highfalutin literary answer about how it's more consistent with Molto's personality, that he's a more conventional guy, and so there would be this more conventional narrative voice. But the truth is, I was experimenting one morning. I thought, what would it be like to write from Molto's point of view? It came out third person past, almost intact of what's in the book. And I was like, okay, it works. You know, it ain't broke. Don't fix it.
Scott Turow is here to talk about his latest novel called Innocent. And it is published by Grand Central. The last time you were here was to argue against the death penalty.
Yeah.
And hasn't Illinois called a moratorium on capital punishment?
Yeah, Illinois has had a moratorium on capital punishment since March of 2000 when George Ryan, then the governor.
Now in jail?
Now in federal penitentiary. It just sent him a book. I still have a lot of respect for Governor Ryan. He was, well, whatever his sins as Secretary of State, and they appear to have been many, he was a great governor.
Do you still practice law?
I do. I do. I still am a partner at Sun and Shine, Nath and Rosenthal.
When you were thinking about this book, did you ever think about Presumed Innocent? Would you go back and change anything in that book if you could?
Wow, what a great question. Not something I've thought about much.
I know many writers have told me when they read from older books, they're stunned by some of the things that they come across. But these characters have stayed alive for you, and you might very well want to go back and change a few things just to have made your life afterward better.
My life?
Well, easier.
Their life afterwards better. No, you know, I have been blessed to sort of write from the heart. And even if my perspectives in life have changed, I don't regret what's written. I when I reread Presumed Innocent, the one thought I have is that, I'm not sure there needed to be quite so many subterranean plot complications.
Well, you have a plot complication here because it's about a medication that interacts with certain foods and other drugs.
I do.
And I'm not going to go into any more detail about that, but it would suggest that you got to do a lot of research.
I did. I did do quite a bit of research. I had a lot of help from a very good toxicologist named Gerald Lakin.
And what about pacing? Because it's so important in a book like this. Do you map it out in advance?
No, there's no mapping. In this case, there was a lot of rewriting. Rusty, as I envisioned him, is charging up to 60 years old and very philosophical about it. And I thought a lot of his musings were extremely worthwhile, but they just slowed it down too much.
Now, we have just a half minute left. I want to tell people that you'll be reading and signing books tonight at 7:30 at the Lincoln Square Barnes & Noble store at Broadway at 66th Street. But in 10 seconds, Dave Barry was here yesterday talking about the band that you're all in, and he doesn't seem to have all that much respect for your singing abilities. Is he a good musician?
Dave is actually a wonderful musician, and compared to me, he really is Beethoven. So
what do you play?
I sing, and that's why he doesn't have any respect for my abilities, and he justly ridicules me.
The band, by the way, is the Rock Bottom Remainders, and we can only hope that we'll have a live performance here sometime in the near future. Meanwhile, I want to thank you so much for talking about the book, Innocent, Scott Turow's latest. It is published by Grand Central. It's been a pleasure.
And it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.